This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
To tell everybody something, and we'll move on quickly, I promise, but I'm so happy that Sean and I did this research during the break. Shams Charania, now of ESPN, tweeted out the NBA three-point contest field at the All-Star weekend, and it includes Jalen Brunson, and it also includes Cam Johnson of the Brooklyn Nets.
The Nets still in the league.
And I said to Sean, I think this is the first time ever there's been a Nick and a Net in the three-point contest at the same time. And we literally went through the history of the NBA three-point contest, and we can now confirm that this is the first time in NBA history that a Net and a Nick are competing in the three-point contest at the same time.
Yeah, and more years than not, there was either a Nick or a Net.
Right.
We're usually representing the city, never by both.
Yeah, you know, there's a Joe Harris, there's a Jalen Brunson, there's a Q Rich, there's a Draws, but never at the same time. So just wanted to pass that along. Before we get back to your calls, Tiki Barber, your opinion on, and this is how it's being called on the internet, on Josh Allen being the first ever DEI MVP.
Oh, God.
All right, I'm just joking. Your thoughts on Josh Allen winning over Lamar Jackson?
It's shocking, even though he deserves it because he had a great season. But Lamar Jackson, who won the MVP a year ago, and the statistics you can go look up if you want to look them up, were surpassed by his statistics this year. He threw for 4,500 yards or whatever it was. He rushed for 900-plus yards this past season. He only threw four interceptions, I believe. I think his touchdown-interception ratio was one of the best in the history of the NFL. His team got deep into the postseason again. Obviously, postseason doesn't matter, but he was excellent, like unbelievably great. And I know some people will argue, you got Derrick Henry, and that run game is what helped elevate them. Yeah, but Josh Allen had James Cook, who was fantastic as well. So I get it, and I guess he deserves it, Josh Allen, but Lamar, who was voted the AP All-Pro quarterback over Josh Allen, by the same voters, by the way, it makes no sense. It almost feels like what they do to Saquon, what they do to running backs when they have exceptional seasons.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll give you the offensive player of the year, but the MVP is going to a quarterback.
It feels to me very NBA-like, where we award MVPs on, you've won it too much.
Yes. Yes.
And that, to me, is the most foolish thing in the world. And I'll get ahead of this because I know that Shohei Ohtani will likely be the favorite for the MVP again, especially with him pitching. I will never argue on this radio station, because I know Met fans will, if it's Lindor or it's Soto. And by the way, Tommy, I'm not saying you shouldn't argue Lindor or Soto. The one thing I don't want to hear is Ohtani wins it all the time.
Yeah.
That's not an argument.
No, because especially when he's pitched. There was an argument that Lindor had a chance this year.
Yeah.
But Ohtani was fantastic, and he stole, 60 bases?
Ohtani was the MVP this year. I love Francisco. But my point is, we can argue it, and I think Lugie and I, we did argue it, but you never brought up well, Ohtani wins all the time. Because that would be stupid. Who cares if he wins all the time? Well, if he's that good, have him win every
year. And by the way, he is going to win all the time, especially if he pitches to a high level.
Of course. He's going
to
have that
edge. And by the way, he doesn't even have to be Cy Young level. He just has to be good.
Right.
And do what he does on the as a hitter as well, as a DH.
If he's deserving of the MVP, he's the MVP. If LeBron James is deserving of the MVP, he's the MVP. If Nikola Jokic is deserving, I don't want to hear, well, he's won it too often. And it felt like Lamar's won too much. And that's ridiculous, because in my opinion, and in your opinion, and in most people's opinion, the stats don't lie. No. Lamar had a better year. It's not a knock on Josh Allen. Nope. Lamar had a better year, and I can't buy this. Lamar wins all the time. Who cares?
Right.
If you deserve it every year, win it every year.
There's some people that thought Josh Allen should have won it last year, and Lamar won it. Is this sort of like a, hey, we might have screwed you last year, and now we're going to give you one?
Maybe. I'd have to go back and look at last year's statistics.
That may
and what
be the
felt like.
That may be the also, reason, but it's a stupid reason.
Oh, I agree. It's a stupid reason.
But I also thought last year Josh was a little bit reckless. We saw it in the first game of the season. The reason that the Jets beat the Bills on that game was because Josh Allen was just throwing haymakers in the middle of the field. Oh, I'm going to throw this up. You'll get it, Diggs, right? Hey, go get that thing.
Hmm.
Middle of the field close. Interception, right? He didn't do that this year. Like, his interceptions were way down. He was a great leader, as he always is, but so is Lamar, right? It's a tight one. I get it. But I think Lamar had a season for the ages. I don't think you're ever going to see someone do what he did this year. That includes as a passer and his development growth in that category, but also as a runner. I mean, he rushed for 900 yards.
He was just better this year. And that's not a knock on Josh Allen. He was fantastic. And I honestly, I don't remember last year. Like, last year was a long time ago now. I already forgot about the stats and the debate from last year.
Right.
But even if they got it wrong last year, that's not a reason to get it wrong again. Just get it right as often as you can. And to me, Lamar Jackson was the MVP. What was so weird about it was there's this thing called Polymarket. And Polymarket was all over the election, where the odds were sitting at a certain place in the Trump versus Harris election. And it turned out to be really right. You know, for as much as people thought it would be close or maybe Kamala would win, ultimately this Polymarket was very, very accurate, right?
Right.
So I admit, after it was done, I was like, boy, I got to pay attention to this thing because it actually turned out to be accurate. So they've got this Polymarket in sports now. And all of a sudden, Tiki, yesterday, the market for Josh Allen winning the MVP went to 90%. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, how do they know?
Right.
And second of all, what? So I kind of knew he was going to win just based on that dopey Polymarket thing.
Right. I mean.
And it's like, what?
God, it's just hard. I mean, I'm just looking at the stats now. Completion percentage, Lamar. Yards, Lamar. Yards per attempt, Lamar. Touchdowns, Lamar by a lot.
Yeah.
Like 13. Interceptions. Lamar had 4.
He hasn't beaten everything.
Josh Allen had 7.
Yeah.
Or had 6. Rushing yards. I mean, Josh Allen was a good runner. I forgot what he rushed for.
480,
rushed
I think?
Rushed for 531 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's a pretty good year. Lamar rushed for 900 yards. He almost rushed for 1,000 yards.
He literally beat him in every stat.
In every conceivable
and record-wise,
statistic.
The teams were separated by one game.
Yeah.
I will sleep fine tonight. I'll make that clear. I think most of us will.
Yeah, of course.
It was more just like, really? Okay. All right, fine, whatever. Here's the bottom line. You know who's laughing about the MVP debate, like really cracking up?
Who's that?
Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Because he's like, cool.
Great.
Yeah, fight over that.
You take your MVP fights. I'm winning Super Bowl.
You know what the MVP trophy is now named now? It's called the runner-up award in the AFC. That's what it is now. You're basically, hey, you're the runner-up. All right, let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019.
I mean, it literally has been the last couple
I know
of years.
It has. That's why I say that's that. Crazy. Jay is in Rutherford. How are you, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. Hey, quick question. Devin, whose career would you rather have, Dan Marino or Trent Dilfer?
Dan Marino.
Exactly. That is the only time where you could say, oh, having a better not winning a Super Bowl isn't more valuable. And Philip Rivers and Eli Manning aren't even close. You would have, whose career would you rather have? Eli Manning by far. I mean, Philip Rivers wasn't that much better.
Well, hold on. If the question is, would I rather have, because you asked Dan Marino versus Trent Dilfer. Like, all of a sudden, I've morphed myself into this amazing athlete, right? I'm amazing. Uh-huh. Would I rather be Dan Marino or Trent Dilfer? Maybe I'm selfish because Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. The answer is Dan Marino. You asked Philip Rivers and Eli Manning. I actually agree. I'd rather be Eli Manning because though Rivers had the better regular season career, I think pretty easily two championships, especially beating the Patriots, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, I think you need to find a different quarterback. Trent Dilfer, I get what he's trying to do there, just a quarterback who won a Super Bowl, but I think you need a really good quarterback that won a Super Bowl.
Peyton Manning versus Dan Marino? He's one of the all-time greats, though. No, Ben Roethlisberger versus Dan Marino.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about that
you'd
one?
Take Ben.
Would I?
Yeah.
I got to think about that. No, I think I would. Look, it's honestly, it's a much better question for you, Tiki, because you actually played professional sports. I'm just some loser. Would you rather have, and look, this all started with the Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning debate, which Loogie referred to earlier. This came out about a year ago because there was a young quarterback, and I'm trying to remember which young quarterback
was. Was it Jaden Daniels, I believe.
Are you sure?
You could double-check me on that, but I thought it was Jaden
Daniels. I thought it was Justin Fields, but maybe it was Jaden Daniels. When asked about the careers of Rodgers and Eli, like, which one would you rather have?
Yes.
And I think the answer was Eli, and I said, come on, Rodgers, I know he didn't win as much, but he had a far better regular season career, and he did win a Super Bowl. It's not like he didn't win any.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an odd answer. Like, right. I'd rather have the career of Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning.
When you're a quarterback, all you want is Super Bowls. Because, I mean, that's what your goal is.
But would two over one be enough for you? I mean, you already won. Rodgers won a Super Bowl. He's not like some loser.
Yeah.
Not that you're a loser if you don't, but it's like he won.
But it's hard not to look at Eli and think about everything that comes with being Eli in New York.
Mm.
And so it's a biased and almost unfair question. Because you're talking about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Great town. I'm sure it's fantastic. You know, for athletes that live out there. But if you're a star and a Super Bowl champion in New York, forget it.
Well, hold on. Now you've changed the entire equation because I wasn't factoring in cities. I love New York. So I would take being, you know, Chad Pennington over Peyton Manning because I got to be in New York longer than literally living in Indianapolis and Denver. Like, okay, based on
Denver,
that answer.
Denver's pretty cool.
That's all right. I'd rather be Chad Pennington based on that answer. I'd rather be Eli Manning than any of the quarterbacks that's ever lived. He was in New York the longest.
No, you're right.
Let's go to Patrick in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, not Jaden Daniels.
Got it.
Also, weighing in on the Hall of Fame, I just think that this is just a shot at Eli Manning. There's no way in NCAA Hockey 6 that Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks he beat. What does Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady all have in common? They all got beaten in the postseason by Eli Manning. And you tell me if any of those other quarterbacks that even, you know, snipped the jaw straps of them doing that. Eli's a first-round Hall of Famer.
Well,
he's close.
I got a guy for you. I mean, you want to play this game?
Who?
I got a guy. Mark Sanchez. Hmm. He beat Tom Brady. He beat Peyton Manning on the road back-to-back weeks. And he also beat Philip Rivers.
Yeah, but he's not in that conversation.
I never said that. I'm answering the man's question.
And why is he not in the conversation? Because his regular seasons aren't as good as Eli Manning.
I was not arguing Mark Sanchez for the Hall of Fame. I'm merely, look, the head-to-head thing sounds really cool. It does.
Yeah,
it sounds awesome.
It doesn't mean much.
That's not enough. And here's the problem with a lot of voters, and I think a lot of people out there. That's not enough to overcome the fact that his regular season numbers are average. To me, it's enough. To you, it's enough. But yes, those incredible postseason moments, because it's not the same, but I'll bring it up. I'll give you someone who's somewhat similar. Because I say somewhat similar 100 times because Sean's going to scream at me for bringing up his name. You know who also had a great postseason run? Joe Flacco.
Right. Yeah.
Is that enough to make him a Hall of Famer?
If Joe Flacco had a second one? Yeah.
No, that's why I said it's not exactly the same. It's only the one. Hmm. But is that enough? And they also had Joe Flacco other postseason runs.
Yeah.
Even if that was the only one that ultimately ended in a championship. The weird thing about Eli's career is the only runs he's literally ever had were the two Super Bowl runs. Every other time they made the playoffs, they got knocked out immediately.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco's an interesting case.
He is.
And his career record is 105-86. His numbers are solid, but certainly not spectacular. But then we mentioned the postseason, like the run he made in that championship year of 2012.
That's the one he bet on himself and then got paid.
Do you remember the stats during that run?
No.
Better than Eli's. And again, that's not a knock on Eli. 4-0, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. Threw for 1,100 yards.
All-time run. I agree.
But here's my question. Is that enough to overcome what is a very statistically average career to make him a Hall of Famer? Tiki, your thoughts?
Probably not.
Makes it closer, though? A little closer?
Yeah, I mean, it does, but it could be in the conversation. Just like when Matt Ryan's time, he'll be in the conversation. They're going to discuss quarterbacks because of how important they are in the league. And you know, Matt won an MVP. Joe Flacco never won an MVP. I don't even know if he was close.
Neither did Eli.
Did Joe Flacco even go to Pro Bowls?
No. Zero Pro Bowls.
Right,
no, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. But my point is, because again, it's not a perfect comparison. Like Eli's regular seasons are better.
Yeah.
He also had more longevity as a starting quarterback playing all the time. Like Joe Flacco became a backup at age 33.
Yeah.
Like the last part of his career, which is still going, is a backup quarterback that's bounced around the NFL. Eli never did that.
Right.
But he has a story of a Super Bowl run that's as good as anybody. Run he made,
but
you could put up there with anybody.
But it's hard when 10 years into your career, you get replaced. They drafted your replacement and then replaced you in the middle of the season.
You're right.
That's what with Lamar Jackson.
That's part of it.
That's what happened. That's part of his story.
Didn't that happen to Eli?
Yeah, but it happened when he was 37 years old.
Of course, later in his career. But it did happen, too.
But it happened to Joe Flacco when he was 32.
Yes.
It's just a different 33, whatever year that
was. If Joe Flacco, from 17 on, puts together some more 9-7, you know, 18 touchdown seasons.
Makes another playoff run, whatever it may be.
Is that enough to then make him in that conversation?
It puts him in a different light. Because as soon as he got replaced by Lamar Jackson, it changed his story arc. Right, all of a sudden, he wasn't on this trajectory to be one of the just Ravens all-time greats. Even though I'm sure will he be a Ring of Honor guy?
I think so. Super Bowl MVP? Yeah.
I think so. Probably, but you thought he was on this trajectory, and then they drafted Lamar and replaced him.
Yeah.
So it changed it. It changed the story about him. And I think half the the Hall of Fame is about the story you can tell. And Eli has a great one.
Let's go to Louie in Newark. How are you, Louie?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
So I actually think that Eli, even though his statistics are average in the regular season, he was a great elite regular season quarterback. I think people gloss over the fact that he played every game and brought consistency to that position every day as a leader. In an era when quarterbacks were still pretty much getting banged around. And not to mention, not even only in the postseason, but in the regular season, there's no two-minute quarterback that's better. And he owned the Cowboys and the Eagles.
I think those are...
I come from an era where I remember Dave Brown throwing touchdown passes. I mean, come on.
Right.
Eli should have been in.
All those things are fair, but that doesn't make him an elite regular season quarterback. Like, all those things are, yes, it was awesome, even though he wasn't a guy, like, scrambling and making plays with his legs, mm-hmm. and that shouldn't be disqualifying. It's amazing he never missed a game. It really is. It's one of the great accomplishments one can have.
He got beat up a lot, too.
Yes. I remember that preseason game when the Jets bloodied him.
Right.
And he was still playing out there. Like, he played through plantar fasciitis. Remember mm-hmm. that one?
The Chris Mortensen report after week two of 2007, he was going to be out for the year.
Yeah.
And he came back and never missed a game.
It absolutely is a badge of honor, and it's a part of his resume. That does not make you an elite regular season quarterback.
Correct.
That's the only problem.
And the guy I think of is Cal Ripken Jr., who's completely overrated because he played every single game.
Don't say, bro, couldn't agree with you more. I've said that many times about Cal. About many times. Like,
now, he deserves a lot of credit for that, but it overrated him as a player.
Look, Cal Ripken Jr. playing every day is awesome. Eli Manning playing every day at this position is awesome. I don't want to minimize that at all. And that is on his resume. I don't think that's enough to say that's elite. It's a great accomplishment. It doesn't make you elite. He was not an elite regular season quarterback. That you could say it because it makes you feel good. It's just not true. It's not backed up in any kind of reality.
There's also one more ridiculous narrative, anti-Eli, that I've seen floated out there. And you kind of alluded to a little bit. And to me, it is the worst stat you could throw at anti-Eli. And that is, in years he didn't win the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, those two count. He didn't win a playoff game. Here's my issue with that. In 2008, would he have been better off losing to Carolina for home field just to make sure he had a wild card game where he won the game?
Hmm.
I mean, they had the bye that year. So the idea that we're going to poo-poo that and go, well, he never won.
That's only one example.
Okay, I'll give you more. 2016, the defense gives up 30 points. He's the best player on the field as everybody is dropping balls left and right.
I agree. I thought he played well in that game. I agree, sure.
And, look, again, I get it. It wasn't a lot of Eli Tiki's final game of his career. If David Akers shanks that field goal to the right and it goes to overtime and they win the game, mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? It's a walk-off field
goal. It's not disqualifying. I think it's more, and the only reason I brought it up was not to knock Eli. It was, hey, Joe Flacco had all the runs.
Right.
Besides the Super Bowl run, we should count those as a part of the equation here. It's not just, he didn't win the Super Bowl, doesn't count. He got to the AFC Championship game as a rookie. Did that happen, or am I remembering incorrectly?
No, I agree.
2008, he was a rookie quarterback, like Jaden Daniels was a rookie quarterback this year, and he was one of the very few on that exclusive list, Mark Sanchez is on it too, that got to a championship game as a rookie. That's pretty cool. It's pretty impressive.
I'm more consistent with this. I'm way more pro the legacy of Flacco than others, so I'm consistent when it comes to this.
I got you. More of your calls at 888-808-1019. And when we come back, why did Brian Cashman decide in early February, I want to bury Gleyber Torres just a little bit more? Well, one thing we're going to do today, I look forward to this. We like to make predictions and then kind of save the audio and see how we do. We did it throughout the football season at times with like Daniel Jones' stats or what have you. So coming up, we will try to predict Saquon Barkley's Super Bowl stats. I can't wait. I've been thinking about it. I've been analyzing it. We'll do that a little bit later on. And speaking of predictions, we check in on some predictions we made months ago on Pete Alonso. Mm. We predicted his contract, the date he'd sign, the team he'd be on. So coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll check in on that. But last night, the Yankees had their Yankee Hot Stove show on the YES Network.
Okay.
And I checked in because I saw there was an interview with Brian Cashman. So I wanted to hear it just to see what he's got to say. And Brian Cashman, out of nowhere, decides, you know what I want to do? I just want to, like, rip Gleyber Torres one more time. I know he's not here anymore. I know he's dead. Not actually dead, but dead in Yankee land. He's with the Detroit Tigers now. And so all of a sudden, Brian Cashman reveals this about last year's New York Yankees.
When I acquired Jazz to be our second baseman and move Gleyber to third the rest of last year. Booney wanted to do it the other way. He moved Jazz to third after we got him, and Glaber to second, and kept Glaber at second because Glaber didn't want to move to third and was unwilling.
And was unwilling. That last little part.
Yeah. That was like, the part.
It was like the dig.
Yeah. Now, we had heard this. I think there were rumblings about this at the trade deadline that Gleyber Torres did not want to go to third base. I don't remember if it was ever fully confirmed, but this is not a shock. This wasn't like Brian Cashman dropped a shocking thing. It was more, why do this?
Yeah.
Why say it? There's a few things I took out of this, including Aaron Boone's role, but what do you think Cashman's motivation is to, out of nowhere in early February, just say, Gleyber Torres was unwilling to move to third base?
Because right now they're sitting with not a hole, because I think they can figure it out, but they don't have a third baseman or second baseman, whichever one you don't want.
I'd certainly take it as a third baseman, right? Because Jazz is going to play second base.
Right.
So they definitely have a hole, though.
Right. They have a hole. And so he's trying to explain why we are, 7 days away from pitchers and catchers, 6 days, whatever it is, and they don't have a third baseman. So he's just making an excuse, probably.
Well, I almost...
And he's taking a dig at Glaber.
I almost took it...
I don't know why.
As, and Cash is usually really good at reading the room, there is no Yankee fan. I have not run into one Yankee fan, including Big Mac, who's the biggest shell out there, that has said, boy, I wish we kept Gleyber Torres. I've not heard anybody say that.
But we could be very much, and I think Cashman's aware of this, nearing that point.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. You think the hole that now involves... It could be DJ, it could be Oswaldo, dude. It could be Peraza. Like, yes, I get all the different options. Now, I've already told you guys, don't worry about it. You're getting Nolan Arenado, but that's for a later point. You really think that at some point during this spring training competition, there are going to be Yankee fans who say, why didn't we keep Gleyber Torres?
I'm getting to the point where
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I was not this way at the beginning of the offseason because we just assumed Gleyber was gone. But as the offseason has gotten on, and Tiki said, you know, we're a couple days from pitchers and catchers here. They don't have a third baseman / second baseman to pair with Jazz. Glaber did not get paid big money.
No.
So while we all operated, right, and, you know, Met fans, you guys can relate, you know, maybe he didn't want Alonso gone, but he comes back for that one-year deal.
I don't think Yankee fans will like that with Glaber.
If you got a one-year deal for Glaber, okay, and I ask
most
you this.
Most fans were done with him, bro.
Okay, most fans, who do you think they're more done with, though, Evan? DJ LeMahieu or Gleyber Torres?
Believe it or not, I'm going to stun you. I kind of think Glaber, because I think there were a lot of Yankee fans who looked at the decisions, the effort, and said, while he's a more talented player than DJ LeMahieu, at least you know if DJ's out there, those issues that ran into Glaber aren't going to be an issue with DJ LeMahieu.
You know what?
I actually think you're wrong.
Yeah, you mean the fielding.
The fielding, the issue. Mental mistakes, yeah. Everything that went along with the Gleyber Torres experience.
I'm the Yankee fan, not you. I'm going to pull an Evan. I'm going to put out a Twitter poll on my Twitter.
Go ahead.
Who would you have rather had in the Yankees 2025 opening day starting lineup? DJ LeMahieu or Gleyber Torres?
All right, go ahead. I'm curious how that's going to go, actually.
Because I believe, given the choice between the two, people go Gleyber.
I think it's going to be Gleyber. Only because at the end of the season, Gleyber started being extraordinarily valuable.
Well, Gleyber Torres is, without a shadow of a doubt, a more productive player than DJ LeMahieu. It's not about that.
Especially at this stage of DJ's career.
Right.
I mean, it's almost unfair because it's not DJ in his prime and Gleyber in his prime, whatever you want to call that, that time frame being, it's Gleyber right now and DJ right now,
right?
And that's an easy one, Sean. You don't have to put it out there.
Yeah, you'll probably win your frame
it
that way.
Like 65-35 or something.
But that's not how I was framing it. I wasn't framing it on who's better. I was framing it on who are you more done with. I think Yankee fans in general are and were so done with Gleyber Torres that bringing him back was not an option.
Okay, but I think Cashman
just award it like that.
Thank you. He won't word it that way because he'll lose. Trust me.
The only reason I'm bringing it back, you asked why.
That makes it more nuanced.
Yeah. It's a nuanced thing.
What you're asking is so obvious.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to say Gleyber.
Of course, Gleyber's better. We all know that. Gleyber was, Yankee fans were done with him.
You're right. But the reason I'm saying that Brian Cashman is saying this now is, yes, Yankee fans were done with him. Brian Cashman was done with him. I think there's no guarantee he strikes a deal with Nolan Arenado. Yeah. I think Brian Cashman is getting a week or two ahead of the stories coming out of, this was the Yankees' big plan. They're missing a Gleyber Torres, and this is his way of saying, this is why Gleyber Torres was not an option.
So it seems like the desperation for Arenado to get dealt seems like you're going to get him for a song.
Well, I think that's what the Yankees are doing. I think what the Yankees have done with Nolan Arenado is actually similar to what the Mets did with Pete Alonso. I think they're waiting for St. Louis to pay up more of that contract because it's 3 years. It's convoluted because the Rockies are picking up part of it. Oh, but basically, there are 3 years left on the deal. I think it adds up to like $50 million over the three. And the Yankees want
that's not horrible.
it's not horrible, but he's a diminished player.
Right.
That's what's horrible about it. So the Cardinals, the Yankees, or really any team that's talking to St. Louis wants them to pick up a big portion of the contract. So I think the Yankees are waiting them out because they know the GM of the Cardinals came out and said our biggest priority is finding a new home for Nolan Arenado.
$32 million, $5 million paid by the Rockies. This is subsequent years, $27 million, $5 million paid by the Rockies, and then 2027, $15
million. Yeah.
So it's really just this season that's it's untenable.
Bottom line is you want the Cardinals to pick up as much as possible, and the longer you make them sweat and there's no place for him, the cheaper you'll get him. That's why I said this 2 weeks ago, and I did save the audio because I didn't trust Sean to do it. The Yankees are going to get Nolan Arenado.
Mm-hmm.
But the other component of what Cashman said, I'm curious your opinion on. Two things about Boone. Number one, for anyone who claims Aaron Boone makes no decisions,
right,
that statement proves you're wrong.
Right.
Because Brian Cashman acquired a player who in his mind was going to be the second baseman, and the manager said no. So that's number one. Number two, shouldn't Aaron Boone have said to Gleyber Torres, shut your mouth and go play third base?
I don't care
what you want. The manager, bro.
No, I mean, honestly, he should have. But I think this might have been Aaron Boone using his brain, mm-hmm. his baseball mind, and saying, Gleyber's having some issues at just playing second.
Right.
And it's not, you know, he's not capable of it. He's just very aloof,
mm-hmm.
lax, gets the ball, is like, oh, I'll get it there. And then he ends up screwing it up. You can't do that at third.
We have no time to think, which is why I would argue he's better off there.
Yeah, but
there's less time to put things.
But I think he would think.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Boone's mind, he was saying, he's going to field one of these things and just be like, I got time to get it over there. But maybe it also came down to arm strength. I mean, I didn't know that Jazz had an arm like that.
Jazz played a good third base.
Of course. He could fire it across the diamond. I don't know if I've ever seen Gleyber throw the ball hard.
It's not even that Jazz would have been better off at second, Gleyber would have been better off at third. It's more the idea that a player, an underachieving player, said, I'm unwilling to move to that position. And the manager, or, I hate to say it, the captain, mm-hmm. didn't feel like they should have sat that guy down and said, who in the blue hell you think you are?
I think I'm looking at it differently. I think that Aaron Boone looked at the skill set of both of those guys, Jazz and Gleyber Torres, and said Jazz is probably more suited to play out of position.
That is far different and very understandable. I have no issue with that. It's more the unwilling part that would annoy me.
That's why that last part of that statement that Cashman said was unnecessary.
Mm.
Cut it off. Don't say he was unwilling. Because when you say he was unwilling, it now sounds like what you're arguing.
Right.
Hey, Aaron Boone goes up to Gleyber. Gleyber, we're going to move you to third base. No, coach, I ain't doing that, Skip. Sorry. That's not happening. I'm playing second base. And so he was forced now to make Jazz Chisholm the third base.
That's the part I don't like.
But I think it was more likely Aaron Boone saying, you know what? Jazz has got a cannon. He's got an arm. He's a young athlete. I think he can mold into a third baseman. And he ultimately was right.
I think so. I think Jazz did a pretty good job.
If it went the former way, the way Cashman intimated that it was, I agree with you.
Yes.
Gleyber, dude, we sat you down before because you're not hustling. You're sitting down, right? But if it went the way that I think it went, where Boone recognized that Jazz was the better third baseman playing out of position than Gleyber would have been, then you give Aaron Boone credit for making a really good baseball move.
One last thing on this. I'm very, very... By the way, did you put that poll out there, Sean?
I did.
How'd you word it?
I worded it as... Hold on.
BC wrote Gleyber or DJ.
Nah. Well, I mean, those are the two. But I said, if given the choice, knowing what we now know as the offseason ends, who would you rather have in the 2025 Yankees starting lineups? Capitalized starting.
It's so overcomplicated.
But it's the truth.
Yeah, but the question that Evan wanted answered was... Who are you more done with?
Yes.
but I think we're going to get to the same thing. You're going to get right there, but my point would be you might be done, but you watch how undone
you get. So what's the answer so far? The early returns are always the results.
76% say Gleyber Torres, 21%, including Brandon Tierney, say DJ LeMahieu.
I told you.
Wait, how did you phrase it again? I completely forgot now.
If given the choice, knowing what we now know.
Basically, who do you want in your starting lineup?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, 78%.
And I told you it was going to be 65-35. You know, that's what it's going to be. You didn't make it. You didn't do a compelling
enough question. But also, there are elements to this that people are not understanding. Like, if you bring Gleyber Torres back, you're probably playing him every single day,
yes,
dealing with all the mistakes.
Yes.
DJ LeMahieu's a part-time player, and if he sucks, they may DFA. That's not going to be an option with Glaber.
Would you rather Waldo and LeMahieu, or, you know what I mean, that combo? The bottom line is this. Gleyber Torres, as much as we were all done with him, ended up being such a catalyst for them at the end of the year, and now they didn't do a good enough job replacing him when we said that's it.
You're going to get Nolan Arenado. Do you believe me yet or no?
I lean that
rumors are starting to go back out there. I said this a month ago. He will be a New York Yankee.
I saw it today that the Cardinals re-engaged.
Of course they did.
Because and one of them was a Yankee.
Of course they did, because I'm telling you.
And is Stroman going to go to the Cardinals?
I can't tell you what the whole trade looks like. You want everything from me. I've already told you you're going to get the guy. Isn't that enough information? Doesn't that make sense?
Evan,
of course it does.
Evan, I'm just looking. Look, man, if you're going to do Rico's with Hoff six times a week, breaking down the baseball offseason, I'm just looking for answers, man.
Right. On what they're going to give up?
Yeah.
Here's why I'm conflicted. Because the Cardinals don't want Marcus Stroman. So sometimes when you're having these negotiations, you got to meet in the middle somewhere. So I think it just may be the Cardinals pick up more than they're willing. The Yankees are still stuck with Stroman, and you get Arenado on the cheap.
What's more important, the Yankees getting rid of Stroman or the Cardinals getting rid of Arenado?
The Cardinals getting rid of Nolan Arenado.
Okay, so
because the New York Yankees have never said, we have to get rid of Marcus Stroman the Cardinals have. And here's the other little thing about Marcus Stroman. Right, you may take him for granted now, because the Yankees are healthy right now.
Yeah, they lose a couple starters.
You may need the guy.
I don't disagree with that.
So it might be lucky that they can't move him.
Well, I'll take it a step further.
But are they actively really trying to? That's what I can't figure out.
Yes, because Stroman's already wiped them from social media and everything.
Yeah, but that's Stroman being mercurial as a social media.
Do you want to know why the Yankees are trying to trade him? And the reason why they shouldn't trade him? Because there's two different things here. The Yankees should keep Marcus Stroman. I'll just say it. Like, there's no reason to trade him.
I didn't agree.
But they care about the luxury tax.
Oh, I see.
And this is about money. And these discussions become complicated because as a baseball fan, baseball fans, I just want the guys that help me win. So, having Marcus Stroman as a sixth man is a good thing.
So let me ask you then, if he's a sixth man and they're not using a six-man rotation, what role does he play?
He's a long reliever. And if, God forbid, someone gets hurt,
has he ever done this?
Yes.
I
think he did it a couple years ago in Chicago. But point is, someone's going to get hurt. It's baseball, bro. Like, that's the way it is.
But this goes to the next degree of Marcus Stroman, which is, will Marcus Stroman sit back quietly, smile on his face, and be the long reliever?
Yeah. I think so. I think you just have to explain this is baseball, let's be real.
He never said anything in the postseason.
He was
insignificant in the Yankees postseason.
Yeah, and did he complain?
He said not a word.
You're just freaking out because he deleted his Twitter. Who cares? Or deleted the Yankee mentions. What does that mean?
I think he's anticipating he's not going to be a Yankee. He was there for a year. Who cares? It is what it is. I'm anticipating I'm not going to be here. I might as well wipe this thing clean and get ready to go wherever I'm going.
I want my owners.
So I don't even fault him for that.
No, I agree. I want my owner. Steve Cohen's doing it. Hal Steinbrenner should do it. Pay the taxes if it makes your team better. Ask yourself this question. Are the Yankees better off having Marcus Stroman as insurance
Yes, they are.
Then why are you trading him?
I'm with you.
Okay,
I'm going on what they're saying. I wouldn't.
I'm express it then. You're allowed to. You could talk into a microphone and say, hey, New York Yankees, I know you spend a lot of money, but guess what? So do I. When I buy hamburgers and hot dogs at Yankee Stadium, don't trade Marcus Stroman to save yourself a few million dollars on a tax when I'm shoving ice creams down my throat.
I'm so confused right now. How did we get from Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu and potentially Nolan Arenado to Marcus Stroman?
Your fault. You know why? Because you asked me. You said, are they trading Marcus Stroman? I said, I gave you the answer.
We were trying to see who they would give up for Arenado.
Well, let's get back to Eli Manning, because he's not in the Hall of Fame, and people are pissed off. Let's go to Pete in Babylon. What's up, Pete?
What's up, fellas? You guys are wonderful. I love you all.
Appreciate it.
And Sean, once an Eagle, always an Eagle. I don't mean the Philadelphia Eagle. You know what that means.
Yeah, but not the day for that, Pete. All
right. You're right. But listen, let me get this something for you guys. Yeah. I know you all agree. You think it should be in the Hall of Fame. You know where I stand. You know I'm a diehard Giant fan. I was at both winning Super Bowls. But let's just put this together a second. Say we're going to draft. We obviously need a quarterback. Your team's going to draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a quarterback that's going to play 13 seasons. He's going to take every single snap in all 16 games and average 4,000 yards a season. Now, that's an iron man. Like, you want to talk about Cal Ripken Jr., who fell off towards the end of his career. Eli Manning, towards the end of his career, his last five seasons, averaged over 4,000 yards a season. He beat, arguably, the best team to ever step on the field, the best quarterback to ever play the position,
and
the best coach to ever coach in the league, and he did it twice.
Right.
That alone, forget the regular season. Mm-hmm. Those three things alone It should have been a first ballot. Now,
right. It's the story you tell.
You're right.
It's the story of Eli.
We're pissed off. But he should be a first ballot.
Well, yeah.
That's what pisses us off.
Right. I mean, if there would have been, I'm trying to think of the other names. If Adam Vinatieri, who deserves to be a Hall of Famer, also got in.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the fourth one. If I'm trying to think of the other guys that didn't get in that should have. Torrey Holt, whatever. Just pick somebody else. And there were five guys that they put in. Six guys, and because you have Sterling Sharp as the veteran committee guy, I'd be okay with it.
Right.
I'd say, you know what? Those guys were deserving. They had Hall of Fame careers. It's all good. Eli, you'll get in soon. You'll get in next year. They let three guys in this year.
Right.
And then the veteran guy in Sterling Sharp. And that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I know we've been talking about this. The system needs to be changed. Pete Prisco is even talking about the system needs to be changed. And it's flawed to the point where qualified, worthy Hall of Fame players are, in certain cases, like me, don't even get talked about.
Right.
And two, get there and don't really have a chance.
Mm.
And that's just not right. And so, like, I hate that for the athletes who care so much about being enshrined in Canton. And it needs to be changed.
The one thing we could all agree on is the system sucks.
Right.
And the system needs change. But you said something in response to our last call, and you're so right. It's the story you want to tell. So our last caller told a very good story.
Right.
It was all true, by the way. Well, most of it. He wasn't great the latter part of his career. So one thing I do want to correct you on, like part of the reason why his record ended up being a 500 record is because at the end of his career, like five of the last 6 years he played, not that he was awful, but the team wasn't any good.
Right.
You know, and he wasn't great by any chance.
Not all his fault, but it's the reality.
But it's reality, absolutely. Right. So it's about the story you want to tell. So our last caller tells the story. Two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, played every game, Warrior. It's a great story. But here's the other story somebody can tell. He's got a career record of 500, and the only time he's led the league in anything was interceptions three times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a factual story. But it's all, like you said, and that's why you're right the way you word it. It's the story you want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're having an argument about somebody who, in my opinion, while is a Hall of Famer, is a borderline Hall of Famer, there are going to be a lot of people who only hear the story I just told.
Right.
He led the league in interceptions. That's it.
Right.
He was never great. He was never top seven. He's got pedestrian numbers. He's a 500 quarterback. That's their story. That's why a lot of people don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But the other story is all about the playoffs. And that's why this is a debate. Like, there are some Giant fans, and I think our last caller is one of them, was like, this is a travesty. It's not close. It is close.
What's more important?
Go ahead.
What's more important?
Which one?
The postseason? Getting to the postseason and having success, or having a great regular season?
In terms of?
Just in general.
If it's close like this, I think the postseasons will put you over the top.
100%.
But you got to make it close. Eli couldn't have been a bad regular season quarterback and had the Super Bowl runs. He needed to at least be average to make it close.
No, I agree with you.
But that's what makes it close.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's the Joe Flacco conversation. Because Joe Flacco was okay. I don't think of him being special in the regular seasons. Completion percentage was right around Eli's. Eli's 60 career. I think Joe Flacco's maybe 61 in his career completion percentage, even though in a game that was evolving as those two guys were in it. So they were now throwing the ball 30, 40 times a year as opposed to, 25 times. It was an adjustment process. But Eli has iconic moments that will last forever in the history of the game. To me, that makes him a Hall of Famer. Joe Flacco doesn't have those.
No, I agree. Look, Eli Manning was a very good player.
Joe Flacco won Super Bowl MVP.
Yes, he did.
All he was very good at
it. Okay, hold on. Joe Flacco won Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
Do you remember that Super Bowl for him?
For him? Yeah. I don't. I remember the run. I remember the time pass in Denver.
Do you remember why he won Super Bowl MVP?
No.
I don't either. I don't either. And that's the only part of the story I need to tell you. You don't remember it.
That's an interesting case. I honestly, with Joe Flacco's run, remember the throw in Denver. That's what I remember.
Yes.
That's like
too.
The number one thing that jumps out at me. And then the Super Bowl, I remember the lights going out. That's the only thing I remember.
I don't remember it at all.
Eli Manning was a very good quarterback.
Yes.
And that's why
and
this
a great
is
great postseason.
And he was great in the postseason.
You think he's just very good, huh? Very good.
Well, in the regular season, he was just good. Maybe average.
Let me ask you something right now. Trajectory-wise, do you think Jalen Brunson one day is going to end up in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think so. He's got a really good chance. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the way things are looking.
And how would you classify him?
Well, right now, he's the king of New York, as you know.
Okay, but you called Eli very good. How would you classify Jalen Brunson?
Right now?
Yeah.
He's borderline a superstar.
Borderline a superstar.
By the way, Eli Manning was never a superstar.
Okay. Guys, I want to take you back to the year 2012, Evan, on the Joe and Evan show.
Eli, obviously, the guy's great. I mean, he right now is the king of the fourth quarter.
He is. King. And right now, he's the king of New York City.
He is that.
What?
You proclaimed, in the middle of Derek Jeter still being a Yankee, that Eli Manning, very good in your words, is the king of New York City, and yet Jalen Brunson's on the verge of being a superstar.
That's cold-blooded. You can't do that. That's just
it's his kingdom, right?
May I ask
he's the one who's writing the rules to Gracie Mansion.
That was pre-pubescent.
Pre-pubescent. When was that? Now, I know we've gone in the FAN archives over the last couple days. We listened to some old Boomer and Carton clips. We listened to Mike and the Mad Dog. We did even listen to Joe and Evan. What was that from?
That was the day after Super Bowl 46 on the Fan, a day after Eli finished being one of the top four quarterbacks
in football that year, when you said
he's never been that.
I get an out on that.
What's your out?
It was the day after they won the Super Bowl. We were all emotional.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you mean that when we do King of New York discussions, we're emotional after day after games?
No, this not like a Super Bowl.
That's weird. Did I call that one out before?
First of all, there's a great difference between Jalen Brunson doing great things in a regular season game against the Rockets versus the Giants winning a Super Bowl. They just won the Super Bowl. Joe and I were still in Arizona. We were still watching the confetti come down.
Yeah, first of
you're going to hold me to those words? The day after the Giants won their second Super Bowl?
First of all, you were not still in Arizona. You were in Indianapolis because 3 minutes before you teased that Ernie was still driving from Indianapolis and you were in the studio. So you don't even know where you were when you proclaimed them the king of New York.
I got the two Super Bowls confused. My apologies.
So you mean you think they're the same run? Boy, we've really settled a lot of cases with Evan and Eli here.
And I'll tell you something else. I got another defense of myself. That's 2011. That's 30-year-old Eli Manning. What'd he do after that? So if he was the king of New York in that moment, and honestly, if I think back to that time period, the only other option would have been Derek Jeter, obviously, because Jeter was still active. Okay? So Jeter was still king. Prince Eli, maybe. What'd he do the rest of his career?
Won enough games?
He was under 500 the rest of his career.
Made those playoffs in 16.
How many Pro Bowls did he make after that? Like, let's be fair about this. Got emotional Evan right after they won the Super Bowl. But what did he do after that?
So who was a better king, Jalen Brunson or Eli Manning?
I can't help but think that this whole King of New York thing is a way for two Net fans here to sort of take snide shots at Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
I feel like, Teak, there's a little bit of an undertone here.
I'm taking no shots at Jalen Brunson.
No, but
just trying to get people to, like, throw shade at him.
I get that a little bit, yeah.
Not me.
You know, there's the mix of Net Yankee fan. So they're going to throw shade at the Nick. That's what happens.
I think what I've realized is I call players on teams not my own king a lot. That's what I've learned.
That's your go-to.
Yeah.
And right now he's the king of New York City.
He is that. Joe agree with me. Joe agree.
Joe, miserable as you can get.
He's like, I agree with you, bro. Real quick, Walter's in Middletown. What's up, Walter?
Hey, Evan. So, real quick, you're going to put a lot of stock in the regular season, which is fine. If you look at Eli's career from the time he became a full-time starter in 05, forget 04, that he was a rookie, he only started a couple games. From 05 to 13, he was 84-60, okay?
Yeah.
The organization failed him the second half of his career. You just asked the question, what did he do with the second half of his career? In 2014, he threw for 30 touchdowns and 14 picks. The team stunk. The following year, 2015, he threw for 35 touchdowns and 14 picks. The team stunk. 2016, they made the playoffs, and his team is dropping balls all over the field.
Mm.
You want to talk about the regular season, that's fine, but you have to encompass everything with it. He elevated everyone that he played with.
All the
receivers that he played with through the years that left and went to other teams did nothing.
The one thing I disagree with you, a couple of things, couple I'll agree with you on. You're right, the Giants failed him. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. That organization failed him. The beginning of the Giant demise that we're still living in began while Eli was still here.
Right.
100%. Number two, what I'd argue with you about, curious your guys' opinion on this, is I think Odell Beckham Jr. elevated him. I disagree. I think during that playoff year when they won 11 games, I thought it was, you know what? Throw a quick slant to Odell. He'll do something amazing.
Yeah, but the advanced stats got worse because I don't know whose fault this was, whether it was Eli or whether it was play design or what. Most of Eli's interceptions at the back end of his career came trying to force the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm. So you think Odell actually brought his numbers down maybe a little bit?
Well, just it made him less prudent with the ball.
Interesting.
Because it was like, all right, I'm just going to throw it to
But do you Odell. Think during that winning season, that year where their defense was their strength,
yeah, no,
that was Odell Beckham Jr. basically carrying the offense?
Yeah, he elevated him.
That's my feeling towards that one successful season they had. We'll get more of your opinions on this. Plus, our stat predictions for what Saquon Barkley will do in the Super Bowl. And we predicted Pete Alonso's future months ago. How accurate were we in terms of the contract he got, the team he would end up with, and when he would sign?
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.